Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I have the writer and director of a new horror movie called The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, Bomani J. Story, on the show. I watched this film and I was absolutely blown away by it. It's a modern take on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and it's about a brilliant teenage girl named Vicaria, who is at the center of the story, and she creates something. You have to watch it and find out. Bomani told me how he fell in love with the story of Frankenstein and why he thought there was so much more to explore there. He also told me about the filming process for The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, how it was cast. And then we get into, you know, what his favorite genre of horror is, favorite subgenre of horror currently is, and what movie he'd love to see David Lynch remake. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated, as it really helps people to find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into my conversation with Bomani J. Story. Hey, Bomani, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you about your movie, The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. But first, do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
I'm just a man trying to make some movies in the world. Yeah, you know, it's like I grew about an hour east of LA and went to SC, graduated. And, you know, my first movie that I wrote was Rocksteady Row, which went to Slam Dance. Back in 2018, and this is my directorial debut. So here we are.
Awesome. Well, it's an incredible debut. We'll get into that in a second. I'm actually from Fullerton. I was born in Fullerton. So I'm a California girl. I moved when I was three, though. So
where'd you move to?
Long Island.
Long Island? Okay. Yeah. All right. All the way on the other side.
All the way on the other side. Yeah. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice.
Original. Yeah. Gotta go with that one.
Awesome. Is that the way you first fell in love with the horror genre?
Kind of, but you know, it's like, I mean, the first couple movies that kind of scared me and were doing stuff was like, you know, Leprechaun and Nightmare on Elm Street and Child's Play and shit. But like the first one that kind of busted my mind of horror open was probably Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Did you see the remake that came out last year, or the reboot or whatever you would consider it?
I have not caught that one yet. No. Have you?
I did. It's a Texas Chainsaw where there is actually a chainsaw massacre. So that is cool. Mm-hmm. I liked it. People who really love the franchise don't like it. So I want to lower your expectations.
Okay. Yeah. First one was a massacre. I mean, there were some bodies. There are some bodies on the first one. Yeah. Yeah.
So I always ask everyone, why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Honestly, okay. So I actually do have a take on this and a theory. I think horror like is a strange way to go back to your childhood, because when you're small, when you're a kid, you know, you're like afraid of, you know, oh, is the boogeyman under the bed, or, you know, it's like you're afraid of the dark. But then when you get like older, like, you know, those things kind of vanish a little bit, some of those childhood fears. So like, I feel like a horror movie like allows you to be a kid again for a second. You know, like, I feel like people aren't willing to say that, but I feel like it channels that. That's my theory and my take.
I love it. That's a great answer. I don't think I've gotten that answer before. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite subgenre in horror?
Ooh, favorite subgenre. Oh, kind of like whether it's
like slasher or yeah. You know, torture porn.
That's a good one. You know, yeah. I'll say what I've been into for a little second. I'd say French extreme. I don't know if that's like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely a subgenre.
Yeah, I'll go with that one for now. Yeah, it's like, because I've been loving French Extreme for a little bit. That one's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. No one's ever said that before because they're so intense, but that's really cool.
Yeah, they're crazy. Yeah, it's like, because Martyrs is just incredible.
Oh my God. Oh God, that movie. I can never watch it again, but I've seen it once.
Yeah, I've seen it twice now. Yeah, it's like the French one. Yeah, that one is, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. The first time I watched it, I didn't know if I'd be able to watch it again, but then I had to show my friend that I watched it again, and I was like, man, this movie's fucked up.
Are you still, or did they want to stay friends with you after?
Not really, they didn't want to watch the movie again either, but they recognized its greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you are the writer and director of the new movie, The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, that is coming to streaming and to theaters on June 9th, that stars Lea de Leon Hayes and Chadelle Coleman, among others. It tells the story of a teenage anti-hero, Vicaria, who is on a desperate quest to cure death. It's a modern take on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Can you tell me how you came up with the idea for this?
Yeah, it's like, so it started with the literature, because I was obsessed with the book. It gave me an anxiety attack and I loved it. Mixed with my older sisters were my muse, and out popped Vicaria, and yeah, it all kind of just kind of went from there. I just realized so much stuff was being left on the floor with the from the original text, and I wanted to explore those things.
Oh, that's awesome. So, is it safe to assume that Frankenstein is your favorite Universal monster?
Yeah, but as far as monster stories are concerned, yeah, like Frankenstein is definitely my favorite when it comes to literature. Yeah, it's like the
Yeah. Awesome. How did you come up with the title of the movie?
Oof. So like I don't have an intellectual explanation for that. My titles come pretty late. And mine came, like, usually I write the script first. And then something speaks to me as more of an emotional journey for me. And like these words kind of just came together for me, and spoke to me. And then, I put it down and it felt right, but it wasn't until I finally started talking to like Leia and, Amani and Riley, and them kind of talking about the title around me and stuff like that. Really, when it is when it started to kind of speak and like become its own, you know what I mean? Like its own thing. And like that was when I knew, like, I was like, okay, like, this is real. This is good. Is because it showed me that it had a life. It did something. It's like it breathed in it and it moved on its own. You know what I mean? It was like, pun intended, it was alive. It's like it
Yeah.
interacted with people, you know what I mean? So I was like, that's how I emotionally knew, but it was more of an emotional journey than just like a textbook kind of just like intellectual thing that happened. I just, after I'm done with the story, like, I want to encapsulate it into an emotion, and that one came out.
Yeah, it's definitely attention grabbing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great. So Vicaria's hypothesis is that death is a disease, and so there must be a cure. What came first, that idea, or you just wanting to explore what was left on the floor from the Frankenstein story?
Definitely what was like left on the floor from a Frankenstein story, and like, and then bringing it back to Victor's motivations, or in this case Vicaria's motivations, and trying to ground and humanize this character as much as possible on what would drive someone to chase this theory and this ambition. It's just like, it's more than, to me, like, creating some caricature, someone who just is running around doing weird shit. It's like I wanted you to feel like you could possibly know this person. So it was that mixed with, it's like, on top of that, in order to crystallize her, like, her vision for what she wants, finding the language for it, like, it's like I wanted to pay homage to Aronofsky's The Fountain. And so, like, 'cause that's a line in there. So, using that as her mantra, like, that's what I capitalized on, and pay homage to him, and then capture that feeling.
Oh, that's awesome. It's such an interesting idea. And when she is in her classroom trying to talk to her teacher about it, and then her teacher's just like, totally dismissive of her and then calls security and is mispronouncing her name because it's easier for her. It's just, it's infuriating. It's like Vicaria is angry and she has reason to be, but she's also so smart. And I don't know, you just, you feel for her so much.
As I'm glad you're connecting. I'm glad it's connecting, you know.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Just the, like the area that she like lives in, that's a, that's almost a horror movie in itself because she gets cornered by, you know, the guys who run the block. And oh my God, I would have feared for my life all the time, which I'm sure she did. And people who maybe live in areas like hers often do. But then you just, you add in somebody who's, she's created this monster that's going around killing people who may or may not deserve it. I mean, yeah, it's sort of like good for him or good for her. So you're like, I know he shouldn't be, but also, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, it was just important to me to kind of to capture the humanity of everybody and yeah, like show a full scope of like, you know, this is a community where everyone kind of like knows each other, you know, and they all have their own motivations for how they're operating and, you know, where they're going and stuff like that. And what systemic pressure kind of does on a, like a high concentrated level, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's like that was part of it.
The cast was great. How did the cast come together?
The cast came through like a lot of them auditioned, you know, and just smacked it out of the park, you know, except for Chad Coleman, because, you know, you already know. But yeah, a lot of the cast, they just, you know, they auditioned, like Leia came in and just smacked it out of the park, you know, just smacked it out of the park. And like the same with, you know, Denzel and Keith and Riley and Amani and Ellis, like they all, everyone just kind of came in and did their thing, you know. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, they were all amazing. There was not one weak link. And Amani Summers, who plays the little sister Jada, she was so creepy. Did you have to coach her on being that creepy, or did it just kind of come naturally?
No, I always joke around with people, tell them, I was like, yeah, I didn't, she was like Marlon Brando. You don't really give her a direction. She just she just gets better with each take. And everyone on set will tell you that. There's like, she just gets better, you know. So she had her own little ideas about the, like, you know, about the story and how to do it. Like, she came up with mouthing the alphabet with it, you know. It's like that was her, you know what I mean. I didn't tell her to do this. She just invented that on her own, you know. So she's just you know, she just has all the instincts.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to see what she does as she grows up.
I'm sure she'll do wonderful as long as she keeps the hunger, you know, which she has for it. But she's incredible to work with. I loved it.
Oh, I love to hear that. So during the scene when the cops are trying to revive Jerome, he's looking at Vicaria. Is he supposed to be like sort of telling Vicaria something, or is that just her realizing that she needs electricity to bring someone back to life?
I mean, you know, I gotta leave some things for interpretation.
Okay.
I'll leave some things for interpretation, you know. It's like I'll let your mind wander for that. Yeah.
Right.
You can
have
that. Yeah.
Are there any horror directors that inspired you while you were filming this?
I mean, of course, like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, so it's like that one. Trying to think. I mean, of course, like, you know, the movies that I had on, like, that were kind of circling my brain that were horror movies were Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Alien, Black Christmas. And,
the original?
Yeah, of course. you know, The Shining is, of course, you know, it's always a thing. Like, you can't get away from The Shining. It's too good. And Halloween, I think I said Halloween, right? Yeah. So it's like, those were the ones that were like, you know, those were the movies that were kind of just like circling my mind as I was looking at this. So like those directors, I mean, you can't go wrong with Ridley Scott and Hooper and them. And yeah, so.
Awesome. What was the filming process like?
It was awful. No, no, I mean, it was tight. It was tight. About 20 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was tight, but luckily, because everyone was so passionate about the story, like everyone pulled through and did the damn thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for a better crew. It's like, North Carolina really treated us well, and my keys, everyone was just on the ball. Like, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. What do you think are the prominent themes that people should keep in mind?
Honestly, it's like I want them to have a holistic watch of this movie. I
Okay.
want them to have like a I want them to be disgusted. It's like I want them to
The
be
gore was intense.
I want them to be grossed out. No, I want them to laugh, because there's weird funny scenes that can make you laugh. It's like I want them to be scared, and I want them to like think about stuff. How their brain move with it. It's like I'm hoping that they're able to walk away with a lot of those gifts. It's like, because to me, a movie, at least for the movies that I would like to make and the movies that I love to see, are ones that give you a whole palette of emotions and stuff like that as you're watching it. So I hope that they're able to walk away with more than what they thought that they were going to get.
So I just have a couple more questions. Do you have any future projects lined up after this?
Nothing lined up. I do got a script.
Okay.
I do got a script, a story. The best way I can say it's a fantasy story, and the best way I can describe it is Juice meets Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
So like, be on
interesting.
the lookout. Be on the
All
lookout.
right, we will be.
Yeah.
If you could remake or reboot one horror movie, which one would it be?
Ooh. Reboot or remake a horror movie? That's a dangerous question. Don't know, because there's like a lot of, yeah, nothing really comes to my mind with that, because I don't, like, my brain hasn't really thought about that. But I guess, like, if someone was gonna do like a, I guess, like, have they done an redone a Nightmare on Elm Street?
They did. It was not good at all. So maybe you could do it better.
Well, because I was just like, when I was watching the first, I was just like, there's a lot of great stuff you could probably do with this. You know what I mean? Just
Yeah.
because it's so interesting, the dream world and all that other shit. Like, it's like there's a lot of crazy stuff you can do with this. So I would love to see Lynch remake that.
Oh, that would be a trip. That would
Yeah,
definitely be a
I
trip.
would love to see Lynch remake. I know it's supposed to be me, but I would love to see Lynch remake Nightmare on Elm. That's what I want.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be? Assuming they wouldn't kill you.
A great question. Yeah, what or I guess I guess, either Leprechaun or Chucky might seem cool to kind of be chilling with if they don't want to hurt you. Leprechaun's got the coins, and like, as long as you don't touch him, he'll be all right. And then Chucky's kind of funny.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know you have other interviews and stuff to do. Best of luck with the Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. It was so great when I watched it, and I'm telling everyone to go see it. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and the Angry Black Girl and Her Monster when it's out?
You can find us in theaters on June 9th. Check your independent cinemas, check the cinemas where it's going to play. We got limited release, but we're going to make a big splash, I hope. So I hope everybody goes out to see it, and I hope you enjoy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the movie, man. Like, yeah, seriously, and thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Bomani J. Story, and thanks again to Bomani for coming on. Don't forget that The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster is in theaters on demand and on digital this Friday, June 9th. The film will be available to stream on Shudder and All Black at a later date. And just FYI, I need to take a little bit of a break, so I'm going to be gone for the next probably month. And I know a lot of you emailed me and asked me to be a guest, so I'll be getting back to you. But I just need to focus on my job that pays me money and gives me health insurance right now. But I will be back, I promise. So You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.